Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Glad to see all the smiling faces today. Hopefully you'll come in the same way and leave the same way, but with a changed heart and a changed mind. And excited to work for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This morning's message is called The Secret Place of the Most High. I'd like to begin by taking you back to a journey, possibly of when you were sitting in a church and got saved for the very first time. If you would, go over to John. The book of John, chapter 3. It's just familiar to many of us. John, chapter 3. Verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17 said, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Now those verses might seem very familiar to you. You might hear them week in and week out at your church service. And praise the Lord for that. For we know that every word of God is profitable, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. So praise the Lord. We come to you today from Grace Bible Ambassadors as we've gathered today to understand a little bit more about the Word of God, right division, and what's for us today as the body of Christ. But many of you may have heard those verses at your local assembly, your local church, and one day had pronounced your faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. You know, no one picks this Bible up for the very first time and understands right division. Nobody picks this Bible up and says, "Oh, that must be for Israel. That must be for me." They pick this Bible up because it's usually a last resort. Usually they might have stumbled in a church. Maybe they were pulled in the church by their parents. Maybe they were kids. Maybe they got pulled into church. They didn't want to go. They'd rather watch some football, rather participate on a weekend event, whatever it may be. But they came anyways. They heard that message. Now, we understand that message was for Israel. We know that Jesus came for the lost sheep of Israel. But we also know the truth of that part of the message, that Jesus Christ came to save this world. So praise the Lord for that. So today, if you've never been to a Grace church where we believe in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for salvation, I come to you today with something a little bit different. A little more flavor and a lot less work. You know, the minute someone gets saved in a church that's not preaching grace, there's a list of to-dos. Maybe it's water baptism. Maybe it's a communion every weekend where you come and you eat the sacraments of the body and you drink the wine and the blood. There's several different denominations who come across different truths of this word and implement it into their practices. We call those the traditions of men here in the Grace Church. Now, some of those traditions are held very near and dear to someone's heart. Why? Because they believe it's going to make a difference in their life. They believe so much, and I don't think those denominations, they don't struggle with believing what's in this Bible. They struggle with 2 Timothy 2:15. Why don't you go there with me this morning if you would? 2 Timothy 2:15. Hold your finger there for me. You know, when I got saved, this book, the same book I got saved with, I started writing notes in the Word of God. I started seeing amazing things that God was doing in and through my life that I didn't have any idea why He was doing that. Saving a rough marriage. I don't know, go back to the first year or two that you got married and the mistakes that you might have made and the choices and the decisions that could have a huge impact on the entire rest of your life. I remember sitting in church. I didn't know anything about this Bible. I thought, man, Jim, I believe in God. I've never renounced God. Surely I'm saved. And at that point in time, I thought I was. I truly did. I thought that my salvation was just, you know, a mere mental assent of, hey, you know, I'm not rejecting God. But I knew, sitting in that church, I was convicted in my heart and in my soul. The Lord was working on my heart. Now, He used a lot of the Old Testament to get at this old guy. A lot of it. And it was preached. In fact, it's probably what's being preached in 95 to 98% of the pulpits today, which is the law. Now, I want to remind you all, that is our schoolmaster. That is our schoolmaster from the time that you don't know that you need a Savior, that you don't know that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the one who is going to be the Redeemer of your soul. So you need the law. Now, I do have to give a hallelujah and a shout out because there are different denominations out there that are pressing hard and pressing full down on that law. Because why? Because there might not be a grace church out there that is reminding the sinner who needs to know their need of the Savior. So I had a lot of prayer time over the last couple weeks. I saw a message out there from another brother in Christ, and he was talking and dealing with the Jesus Wasn't Talking to You booklet that was written. And I highly respect this person on the internet, and his church, his local assembly, does a great job. I've learned a lot through him through the last several years. But he came at us a little bit strong for the material that is in there. You see, just like kids that go to school, right, or homeschool, that start off, let's say in kindergarten or first grade, and work their way all up through high school, potentially college at the house, doesn't matter, right? But there are steps, okay? The path and the steps of the righteous are in this book, okay? But it does take that verse, and I'll read it for you here. This is the verse that changed my life. I didn't know, sitting in the Baptist church that I was in, they said, Jim, give me the number one verse that has affected your entire life. 2 Timothy 2:15 did that for me. That's the verse that I shared that day with the rest of the fellowship that was there that day. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now at the time, I didn't understand right division wholeheartedly. I understood a lot of dispensational truths, or truths when God was dispensing something at a particular time through a particular person. Take Noah, for example. God was dispensing to Noah, build an ark. Preach that you need to get on this ark, or you will not be saved. Noah preached for, I think it was 120 years. Forgive me if I'm wrong, church. But 120 years, he preached, you need to get on this boat. I'm building this boat to save your life. Get on it, please. He talked to family. He talked to friends. I'm sure the word got out. He was building a very, very large ark. The word probably spread from miles to miles, from city to city. And the message was to get on the boat. Moses, given the actual law, coming down with the Ten Commandments, giving that law to his people who had already abandoned God for a false God, while he was up getting the instructions that the good Lord had to provide, what were they doing but a dancing around idol worship? A lot of that's going on today. But the Word of God is fruitful. Every single bit of this book that we hold in our hands today, the preserved Word of God, is so amazing. But we must learn to go to the secret place of the Most High. If you'll turn with me to Psalm chapter 91, please. Psalm chapter 91, verse 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." You know, Daniel got thrown in the lion's den for praying. He refused to give up praying to the Lord. And they tried to make a big mess and a big scene out of Daniel, throwing him in the lion's den. But what did God do miraculously? He shut the lion's mouth. We need to be very gentle and very careful of what we say to our other brothers and sisters in Christ out there, folks. You know, as the body of Christ, there are so many different parts of the body of Christ to help people come to the need and to know that they need us. They need the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? But in order to understand 2 Timothy 2:15, you have to abide in the secret place of the Most High. And what I mean by that, folks, this Bible that you hold in your hands, it can't stay in your car after you leave church on a Sunday. It can't be thrown in a desk drawer, okay? And put away for the entire week. Why? Because you're doing life in your own strength and in your own power, by your will, not the will of the Lord. And I know that, because this week, just like the verse said, "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler." How many, raise your hand, how many people have been in a snare this week that the devil has set out for them, and they either said something wrong, did something wrong, or thought something wrong? Raise your hand. All right, right now I don't think we have any liars in the church. Praise the Lord. Everybody raised their hand. You know, the Apostle Paul, our apostle, said that we're supposed to boast in our infirmities. Why? Because the good Lord wants us to use our history to improve what we're doing moving forward. He doesn't want Jim Arnold to act like I did last week. He wants Jim Arnold to have more faith this week to do what he has planned for me. But can Jim Arnold do that if I'm feeling bad for myself? If I'm not feeling worthy of the calling, of the vocation, of getting God's Word out there to the people? That's what the devil wants to do to each one of you that are sitting here today. You're not worthy. You are unworthy to preach this Word of God to somebody because you did this. You thought that. Oh, remember what you said to your wife? Oh, you were not filled with grace. Now, you're right, you know. Sometimes like Peter,
That devil sneaks up in us, doesn't it? That devil can sneak up, and the words that come out of us is worse than venom out of a snake. The Lord said you need your tongue to be tamed. Just like a bridle with a horse. You can't shouldn't say you can't. There are people that have the talent to ride a horse without all the extras. But it's much more suitable to put the bridle on the horse to control where the movement of the horse is going to be. Okay? But there is power, wonder-working power, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I do want to give a shout out to some of those churches that might not be dispensational, even though they are. They might not know that they're a dispensational church, but if you're not preaching the law, as you say, or you're not preaching Noah and his ark, what are you preaching? Are you preaching that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is enough for salvation? Period. Not adding anything to it, not taking anything away from it. Right division, let me graduate, if you will, from that program of law. I kept beating myself up. Why couldn't I be the man I need to be for my wife? Why couldn't I be the dad that I need to be for my children? I still beat myself up today because of that, not feeling worthy. Not feeling worthy enough to discipline my children and tell them when they say or do something that's wrong. Because why? Because their dad did it. Their dad said it. They watched the way I acted towards their mother. So why should they not act the same way? You see, we're all sinners. Now, some people will be reminded of the law from the church that they're at. Some people hear the law from a mother or a father to their child or son, child or daughter or son. Our unique part of Grace Bible Ambassadors is we do want each and every religious outfit to know. First of all, thank you for preaching the law. Thank you for letting people know and understand that they need a Savior, Jesus Christ. But I'd like to help you graduate this day to know that that work is finished. It is finished. Christ's death on the cross for our sins, past, present, and future. His burial, His resurrection 3 days later is enough. And that's what we're here to preach today. We want people to understand that God had a program of prophecy with Israel. He had a mission that He came for them, but they rejected Him. There's a gap now of God dealing with Israel and the Jew. And that gap between Hebrews and Revelation is coming very soon. If you'll turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'd like to encourage you all today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Church, God has been pounding on my mind and heart of His soon return for the body of Christ. We do need to stay busy loving on people. We do need to give where we can give. It's important. We're not storing up things on this earth. We need to be storing those treasures in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Amen.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Folks, there's a lot of talk about the Lord coming back this month. I don't know how many of you keep an eye on the feast calendars and the different Jewish things. Keep in mind, folks, this is a very Jewish book. We read this as Americans as we would read any other English literature, but you need to be reminded that this is a very Jewish book. Do me a favor. Go to the beginning of Romans. Do a little exercise with me here. The beginning of Romans, and then I want you to take the beginning of Romans, and I want you to find where Philemon is. I want you to go to the book of Romans, put your finger there, and then go find Philemon, the end of Philemon, and put your finger there. Now you see, if you'll take a look up here, folks, this is for the body of Christ today. This is important for each and every one of you to understand who want to understand rightly dividing your word. Romans through Philemon to the body of Christ today, given from God to Paul for us. Does that mean that anything else in this word is not relevant? No. The entire Bible is relevant. The reason why many of us, or I should say few of us, compared to large churches which have activities and different things going on, the few of us gathered today understand that Jesus Christ is enough. Stop adding the extras. If you want to preach from the book of Genesis, Jeremiah, Isaiah, make sure that you're not over-promising to someone. You know, my favorite is, we'll just go and we'll lay hands on somebody and we'll pray for them and they'll be healed because of our faith. How many times has that worked for each and every one of us sitting in here? You know, God can heal, and God can allow folks to die. He has that power. We don't have that power today. We do have the power and ministry of prayer. And that's something that I want to remind each and every one of you. That is probably one of the biggest areas of ministry that we can participate in as the body of Christ. We spent time this morning listening to the needs of others, joining together hand in hand so that we can join together and leave these at the foot of the cross. Do we know what's going to happen with the prayers that we said this morning? We don't, but we know who does. Amen? We know that our Heavenly Father has heard our hearts this morning as we plead to Him. And we let our requests be made known unto Him. We need to do more of that, church. Those people that we've been praying for, that they would hear the simple gospel message, get out of the religious motions, you continue to pray for them. Continue to help strengthen their relationship with Jesus. If they've had enough of right division and that you have a different message, you need to learn how to love them anyways. I think if there's anything that we've learned with our culture in America today, which is, in my opinion, is a very graceful thing, right? We're having to really bite the bullet and grind our teeth with the difference between right and wrong today, aren't we, church? A lot of turning the old cheek
getting slapped in the face because we can't say anymore that marriage is between a husband and wife. We have to be accepting of other relationships and other people being who they claim to be. But one thing that I have learned about that, especially being in corporate America, sometimes the body of Christ can be the most ungraceful group of people that you can imagine. And we need to have a soft heart for those that are watching and listening. Because one church over here is telling them they have to do this and they have to do that. And for whatever reason, where their mind and their heart is, at that very moment, they're like, I'm not going to believe in your God. You tell me that Jesus is enough. You tell me that His death, burial, and resurrection is enough for my salvation. But yet you will try to condemn me for the decisions that I make. Church, who in here, including myself, standing in front of you today, has made bad decisions?
Okay.
Every last one of us. Now, praise the Lord. Many of those have gone away and been taken away from us. But many have not. If you'll be honest where you're sitting here today, many of you still deal with lust. Many of you still deal with how you speak to your wife. Many of you deal with not sharing grace with your kids. I fail at that. You know, there's a safe place in my home that my kids should be able to fail. My kids know there's one rule in my house. One rule. You need to respect your mother. Do what she says the first time. Everything else in my house is a go. It's a go. But they have one rule. That's to respect their mother. You know, there is a chain here with God, the husband, the wife, the kids. And they need to understand that. Sometimes it's hard for our wives to understand. Those of us that are married, sometimes it's hard for our wives to understand. Listen, you need to let your husband make that decision because that's God's spiritual order of things. And guess what? If it's wrong, we will be the ones to get to whacking, not y'all. There is an order. The Lord said, I've put your steps in order for the righteous. Discernment today, folks, is not the difference between right and wrong. True discernment today is the difference between right and almost right. So my prayer today, and the whole part of, and go back if you would, Psalm 91. You know, every time that there was a big commotion, what did Jesus do? Jesus left the crowd and went to His Father and prayed. Wrapping this message up here to understanding the secret place of the Most High means sometimes you need to go to the secret place of Most Low, humble yourself, and go pray. Quit trying to go through the motions of being the best at work. Quit trying to go through the motions of making the most money. How about we go through some motions and pick this book up, hide yourself in a closet with the Most High, and come out of there with the power and the strength, the resurrection power and strength of Jesus Christ. Amen? I'll read it one more time. Psalm 91 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Folks, that's where I want to be. I'm not there yet. I want to be there daily. If we need to go to the house of the Lord and the house of prayer daily before we speak to our wife or our kids or a friend or a family member, do that before you open your mouth. Otherwise, it's in your power. It's in your strength. It's in your might. We're supposed to allow this book that we believe and trust, and we put in our mind and our heart daily. What does God say? I will give you the words to speak when you need to speak. I've been trying to teach my kids to learn, don't say useless things. Don't just try to fill a void with idle chatter. Ask God to use you today. When you go out of those doors today, Lord, use me. Use me on a mighty level. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this glorious day that we got to sing, we got to praise and worship you. And Lord, we got to come and bring our prayers and our supplications to you. Lord, we trust that you've got the whole world in your hand. You've got us so secure that we should have no fear of that shadow of death. And Lord, we also know that when we get in the snare, because we will, that you will open it back up, that you'll pick us back up, dust us off, and help us with the mission that you've given us, Lord. We thank you so much for the power of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, for loving us and giving us the freedom to meet together today. We love you and we praise you. Amen. Thank you, church.